It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Kick to win it.
Oh! Blocked! The Chiefs have won! The Chiefs have won!
Kevin Harlan, who else? CBS yesterday, Perloff, and that was the moment when you know everything is just breaking right for the defending champions because they blocked that kick and it was not even, didn't even feel like it was a high degree of difficulty. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Chiefs move to 9-0 off of the blocked field goal, and for the Denver Broncos, just crushing because, you know, this had just been a slog of a game, and they actually had a sizable lead. Kansas City predictably got back into the game. And then for them to win this way, I know you think they're like teetering on the brink here because they are allowing teams to hang around and they're, you know, winning these close games. I see yesterday as just more evidence of this sort of winning when it matters, making the play when it matters, and something that feels like luck, but is actually more than that for Kansas City.
God, it's funny. I mean, this is a Broncos team that just got destroyed by the Ravens. Like, if you watch these two games back-to-back, 41-10 Baltimore over Denver, and then this game, you would not think that the Chiefs could hang on the same field with the Ravens. So I just worry about the lack of offense. It's not anything specific. It's just they're totally non-explosive. And they're trying to fix it. They're trying to bring in the guys. And aren't you a little concerned that they have this formula of winning close games now? It's just it's a tough way to win a title. They'll probably do it, but it's still like, can they make it a little easier? What happened to Mahomes from 3 years ago?
Well, I mean, listen, we talked about this quite a bit last week because they played on Thursday night, but it feels like you're willing to judge Joe Burrow on a totally different scale because T. Higgins is missing. I mean, how many guys have the Chiefs been missing on offense where they've had to bring people in off the street? And by the way, DeAndre Hopkins with another big third down catch yesterday, which helped them keep a drive alive. And so, you know, they lost Pacheco. They lost Hollywood Brown. They've lost
Hollywood Brown's a journeyman. Pacheco's a seventh round running back. Like, these are not. That's not the same.
Yeah, but they were big parts of the offense, right? Or they were expected to be for Hollywood Brown. We never actually saw it.
Very little downgrade to Kareem Hunt.
I don't know. I mean, you're just asking, like, why does it look different? And it looks different because a lot of guys are backups out there.
You can't possibly say it looks different because Hollywood Brown isn't there. I mean, that guy's done nothing in the NFL.
We never really saw it with Hollywood Brown. But I do think losing Pacheco, they were forced to bring in Hunt. Hunt is not the same as Pacheco. And Pacheco's going to be coming back.
I kind of disagree with that. I think that they're going to split that because Hunt's been really good. Like, is there anything wrong? Again, I'm talking about explosive. Yeah, they're going to run and play defense. That is not the Chiefs I grew up with, Maggie.
Well, listen, they drafted Xavier Worthy. They were adding speed. It's not for lack of trying. I just think we haven't seen their full evolution yet. Yeah, have they been playing with fire because it's close games? Sure, but they find a way to win them. So ultimately, who cares? Are we going for style points or are we going for W's?
Well, actually, to be funny, the funny thing, it doesn't matter what they do in the regular season. Like last year, they kind of mailed in the whole regular season. They are a different team come playoffs. Right now, I think they're experimenting with things because they're like trying to figure out who they're going to be for the postseason rush. This is like one of those teams that's so good that the regular season feels like an afterthought. That's why they kind of mailed in this game against Denver. Yeah, they happened to win it, but I don't think that they were really on point for this game. And I'm not saying that it's an insult either. I just think that they kind of have a bigger goal ahead than just beating Denver in a kind of meaningless Week 10 game.
Well, I mean, it's a division game, but I get what you're saying. They're 9-0, so what does it matter? 855-212-4227. So there you go. What do you think? Kansas City, do they look like the juggernaut, or do they look like they're itching to lose? Dave gave us a call, thinks that they're going to lose in an epic way. I haven't seen it.
So. I feel like they'll drop like a game like they did to the Raiders last year in Christmas. And I don't think it matters. Like, it doesn't downgrade. If they lost this game, would you take anything away from their chances of winning the Super Bowl? Probably not, because you know, come crunch time, Travis Kelce's going to come awake. Actually, he has come awake lately.
Yeah.
But he's going to be great. They're just a very, very different team. They're than the 2019 version.
855-212-4227. So that was one of the big, big moments from yesterday. Denver's got to be sick. I mean, that would have been such a signature win for them. And they get a 35-yard field goal blocked. It's like, can't make it up. All right, let's get to the NFL in 60.
Maggie and Perloff take you around the league, recapping this weekend's football action. Time for NFL in 60.
All right, EJ throws out a game. We'll give you the big recap. EJ, get us going.
Big recap this one. 20-17 in Germany. Panthers beat the Giants in overtime.
Tyrone Tracy wears it on this one. The rookie fumbled in overtime after the Giants had come back in this game. And you know what? It's better off for the Giants. They need to lose and lose big if they want to get another quarterback and be picking at the top of the draft.
I was shocked at one thing that happened. The NFL does not care. Anyone who says they care about concussions at all, Malik Nabers got just clearly knocked out, was back four plays later, catching passes. His second one, remember, he missed two games already with a concussion. Like, he's Chris Olave part two. That is, I love him as a player, but man, do you have an issue there. Just saying, throw that out there.
Oh, one other part. Bryce Young's now won two games in a row. Now, I don't think this means his future in Carolina is a certainty at all, but maybe there's a, maybe he could be salvaged. Possibly.
Do you know how many yards he threw for yesterday?
130?
What? Close. 125. That's not an NFL performance. I guess against the Giants, like, no. If you try and salvage Bryce Young, then sell your Panthers. That's not happening. He could be a backup somewhere.
Let's go to Chicago, where the Patriots only needed six but got 19 and then went over the Bears 19-3.
Okay, everyone's blaming Eberflus, right? And Shane Waldron, and they might change play callers, is a report today. I honestly got to talk about when Caleb Williams does have a chance to throw. He doesn't look comfortable. He doesn't look like himself. I'm just worried. And this, I'm going to spar something from you. Like, they're going to bring in a new coach next year. Like, there's no guarantee there either. Like, I think everyone thinks, oh, it's all Eberflus. Like, it is hard to make a number one overall pick work. It does not always work, and I'm worried that Caleb Williams is just going to continue the lineage of futility at quarterback in Chicago.
Listen, bad team, not that the Bears have been horrible, but bad teams tend to stay bad for a reason. I'm surprised nobody's talking about four O-linemen got hurt either before this game or during the game. They were down to all backups, basically.
But it's looked bad 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah, they've not gotten over the Hail Mary, clearly.
And besides, they're playing the Patriots on the road. How many secondary linemen should be able to beat that team? Like, this is... was not a hard assignment. And the Patriots, I know they are not scary offensively. Like, that defense alone should have scored more than 3 points.
How's that Joe Flacco basket looking, Shane Steichen? You put all your eggs in it, and now you're 0-2 with him as a starter. Bills beat the Colts 30-20.
Yeah, by the way, taking it a little personally that so many people were picking the Colts in this game. I mean, that was... I'm pretty snake bitten here as a Bills fan. I was not worried about this game yesterday.
Oh, get out of here. Pull some audio of Maggie panicking about this game. There's no way you weren't worried about this game.
I was not. And I think the turning point of this game really was two bad holding penalties on the Bills back them up to 2nd and 19. And so Josh Allen just runs for 26 yards. And there you go. And just erases it all. And the Colts, I do not understand why Anthony Richardson never sees the field. You got 40-year-old Joe Flacco, a statue. Put Anthony Richardson in these short yardage situations. It's driving me crazy.
Yeah, I feel like Josh Allen hurt himself a little bit MVP-wise. MVP is mostly a touchdown interception differential award.
Oh, because he threw another one yesterday?
He threw two picks yesterday and didn't get any touchdowns. Like, you got to be perfect to keep up with Lamar Jackson right now. Probably Josh Allen's best chance to do it because it's kind of a weakened field. I just don't know. Like, you really need amazing stats. And I think at a certain point, the Bills are going to... They got a little sloppy, you have to admit.
Yeah, their two top receivers were both gone yesterday.
Yeah, so they
Deion Coleman and Amari Cooper both did not play. So
that's their two top receivers? Wow. Yeah.
Khalil Shakir, a difference maker, guys. What's next?
I put Shakir maybe above Coleman. No, you think Coleman's our top receiver or Kincaid above both of them? Anyway, yeah, but Josh Allen, his odds definitely fell pretty good on the MVP.
Listen, I care very little about that award.
It's kind of fun, though.
Shout out to clogging toilets. Darren Rizzi gets his first win as head coach of the Saints. Saints 20, Falcons 17.
Does it feel like the Falcons are coasting to this division title? Like, they're winning just enough games, but, like, I don't know. That was disappointing to me that they blew this game. The Saints gave them every opportunity to come back and just get that win. But I watched that game. I watched a lot of that game. It looked like the Saints were a better team, and Atlanta did not have urgency. So this is just another crap NFC South year where the team's going to win and go out pretty quickly.
Well, the Falcons already swept the season series against the Bucs, right? Yeah. So they're winning the division.
Oh, the Bucs might. Bucs are not good right now.
And the Bucs just lost yesterday to the 49ers. MVS? Okay. I did not know that he was, like, going to do three catches for 109 yards type of explosive. Where'd that come from?
Randy Moss stat line over there.
Sheesh.
Let's go to Tampa, where Moody is booty. Not quite at the end there. He did kick the game-winning field goal to help the Niners beat the Bucs 23-20.
Is there any team, like, by the Niners, that just beats up teams, outgains them by 2-1 margin, and is always in the game at the end?
This is the 2024 49ers.
I think people talk about injuries too much. It is 100% special teams. I mean, every single game they do terrible things. Like, Kyle Shanahan, like, why aren't you in that meeting every week, like, yelling at people? Like,
maybe he is, and maybe he just still won't get better.
I don't know. I feel like they shouldn't be talking about anything else. I don't want to hear about Christian McCaffrey's health. I don't want to hear about anything else. I want to hear about fixing special teams. And also, by the way, shout out to Pearsall. First touchdown as a pro, beautiful play.
Great story.
Quite crazy. And man, do they need him now. So the Niners, once again, find a way to make it interesting.
Their kicker missed three kicks and three field goals, and their star wide receiver choked the long snapper. How are things going in San Francisco? They were lucky to win this game, and they got to be careful with Christian McCaffrey. He played 57 of the 65 total offensive snaps for 107 yards from scrimmage. Whatever happened to easing him in? I guess that's off the table.
I kind of disagree. They were lucky to win this game. Like, it was going to be hard to lose that game to the Bucs. The Bucs without their receivers are one of the worst
teams. They committed three personal fouls on the Bucs' last drive. They were lucky to win that game.
Well, I mean, yeah.
They kept the Bucs in it.
Yeah. The Bucs had that drive to tie it. I don't think the Bucs were going to score again. Like, the Niners should have won that game by at least double digits. I mean, three field goals. I'm not sure how the Bucs got that last drive. Because Baker was completely ineffective. He has no one to throw to, Maggie.
Although he had that cool stiff arm on Nick Bosa.
This was probably the best game of the weekend. Steelers beat the Commanders 28-27. Controversial spotting call. Penalty to end the game for the Commanders. A lot going on here.
Yeah, Johnny Newton jumping into the neutral zone, iced this thing for the Pittsburgh Steelers, who at first I thought were going to run away with it, but then good job by the Commanders to get back into the game and make it a game. Who said it earlier? Big Dave? Russell Wilson is clearly the choice here. He's definitely the answer. And pretty catch from George Pickens. Pretty catch from Mike Williams. They do just enough, Perloff. The Steelers do just enough.
Yeah, but how confident you feel when they face the Ravens next week? I don't know how good the Steelers team is. I mean, the play of the game that kept the reason the Commanders, when James Pierre dropped the fake punt in deep in Steelers territory, it almost killed Danny Smith, the special teams coach. Did you see that play? That was like, that opened the door because you're right, they were killing Washington. Then they tried to fake punt it deep in their own territory. A guy dropped a wide open, what would have been a 40-yard gain.
It was a stupid time to try that punt.
I don't know. It kind of worked. He was standing wide open. There was no one anywhere near him, and he just, the guy, James Pierre, just panicked. I'm not sure. Danny Smith is like the special teams coach du jour on Pittsburgh, so I don't know if it was a stupid play.
And EJ, you mentioned the controversial spot. That was the 4th and 9 Daniels to Zach Ertz, where he was short of the first down line, but it took about a half hour for them to get the replay. And even still, I'm not sure that they got it right.
I agree. I thought the momentum of the ball took him over the line, and I didn't even think it was that close.
Three picks was not enough for the Jaguars to overcome Sam Darnold. The Vikings beat the Jags 12-7. Weird uniform for the Jaguars.
Yeah, hometown hero Mac Jones is apparently not living up to the role. The Jaguars have quit on Doug Peterson. Now, my question coming out of that game is, like, that is, the Vikings improved to 7-2, and if I'm a Vikings fan, I am panicking. Like, that was the thinnest, most unimpressive win I've seen probably all NFL season.
Listen, I'm not saying I told you so. I'm just saying I don't know if Sam Darnold's going to be the guy to get you home. That's all I'm saying. And apparently the color on the helmets, EJ, they said it was called seashell white or something. It's a nod to the beaches.
Jacksonville Beach.
Yeah.
But they combined it with that dark black jersey. That was weird and interesting.
They looked like an NFL team.
Yeah.
It was a little odd.
I like the helmets.
You liked them?
It's one of those things where I think if they were a winning team, we all would like the jersey a lot better. let's go to
Can't wait for Belichick to get there.
Let's go to the 4 o'clock games. Let's head to LA where the Chargers just keep winning. And I don't know if anybody's paying attention, but they did beat the Titans 27-17.
Chargers are a good team, but it's kind of hard to tell because the Titans are just so bad. The Titans can score on their opening drive of the game and the opening drive of the second half. And outside of that, they've got absolutely bupkis.
Yeah, I mean, the Chargers are really hard to evaluate because they have the formula. Great, great defense. Like, their defense is balling out, but you haven't seen them against a good offense. And, you know, you got enough with Herbert and the run game. I want to see them play the Chiefs because will this defense translate? They were doing the graphic, Maggie, the Jim Harbaugh bump that we talked about in the preseason. But it's so weird because they've beaten such bad quarterbacks again and again and again.
So they lost to the Chiefs 17-10 earlier in the season, but Herbert was banged up. They will get the Chiefs again December 8th. That's going to be a Sunday night game. So that's going to be
and they
get the Bengals next weekend. So that's going to be fun.
That's
Monday night.
They flexed that one, right?
Maybe. Is that right?
Yeah, I think they took my Eagles out of Sunday night. I think that was the first flex of the season, but I will double check that.
Speaking of the Eagles, who would have thought the sun was going to be their secret weapon, but it worked against the Cowboys. Philly beats down on Dallas 34-6.
There's a clip after the game. Jalen Hurts is going into the locker room, and he gets a huge hug from Howie Roseman, the GM, and a huge hug from the owner, Jeffrey Lurie. There's a sense of relief that the Eagles aren't terrible. That is how I would describe them. Like, I just think that this team was teetering at 2-2. I'm not kidding. Like, yeah. I know people are saying the Eagles fans are too negative. It was teetering, and it looks like they fixed it. There's two MVPs on this team to me. There's Saquon Barkley and there's A.J. Brown, and the two work in tandem because you pick your poison.
Yep.
You either try and stop A.J. or you try and stop Barkley. It's been tough to do both.
This is a Cowboys free fall that we're watching here. Dak Prescott's got the season-ending hamstring surgery, likely, or it's either going to be surgery that ends the season or just the injury ends the season. We'll find out for sure later today. The fact that CeeDee Lamb is complaining about the sun and then Jerry Jones is saying stop complaining because everyone knows where the sun is going to be in the afternoon in Dallas.
Shut up about the sun.
It's just so colossally stupid. And when I say stupid, I mean that they play with the sun in their eyes. I'm actually with CeeDee Lamb on this one. What do you care more about? You can put curtains up in the stadium, but Jerry is so stubborn that he won't do it. Do you want to win games or do you want it to look cool? I think we all know the answer.
This team isn't looking cool. How about the Jets? They lose to the Cardinals 31-6, two rushing touchdowns for Kyler Murray.
Well, I can't even say it was fun while it lasted with Aaron Rodgers and the Jets this season. There's been nothing fun about this, and it didn't last very long. And so now he and Davante Adams, is he still living at his house? This has got to be the most awkward roommate situation. I don't care if it's a mansion or if it's a two-bedroom apartment. Like, you're going to find a way to cross each other, you know, like at midnight or getting a snack in the kitchen. Like, it's going to be bad. It's probably going to permanently ruin their friendship, I would imagine.
I don't think that they have problems with each other. At least he targeted him a million times. Who's mad at who?
Well, I just think that it's not working out. Like, whatever the hand signals that they were supposed to know aren't working because he had 13 targets and had 6 catches for 31 yards.
And that being said, the defense was overwhelmingly the biggest problem. Like, Kyler Murray the Arizona Cardinals are not the greatest show on turf. Like, they're pretty conservative offense, and they made the Jets look like Swiss cheese.
And finally, Sunday nighter, 5 picks from Jared Goff. Doesn't matter. Goff says he played well, and who could blame him? Lions win 26-23 on a game-winning field goal by Jake Bates.
Once again, Maggie and I see this game differently. I said, ooh, you just saw the formula to beat the Lions. And Maggie, you say the grit, like you stack the box and you stop them from running and put it on Jared Goff, and who knows what's going to happen.
That's all well and good, but there's a formula. It was working until it wasn't. And now maybe that had more to do with the Texans and how they just basically go completely silent in the second half, and it's become a trend. But I don't know. I saw the Lions in a dire situation where they couldn't get a lot going at all, and the defense continued to step up, and they somehow found a way to win a game on the road. I'm impressed with what they did last week against Green Bay mm-hmm. and this week against the Texans. And the Texans have a problem in the second half. They do.
Do you trust Jared Goff if the game is on his shoulders in like a playoff game?
No. I don't. I never did.
Yeah, I know, but they've seemed like they're like the number one running back team in the league, and just like you saw it, like, man, the Texans were stuffing them yesterday until Gibbs got off at the end. So I'm a little bit worried because right now my Lions are my favorite team. I'm going to tell you right now, I like them more than I like the Eagles. I love Dan Campbell's postgame speech once again. Perfect. They're just lovable. Aaron Glenn pregame interview. I want him to be my coach. Like, I love everything about this team, but I just don't want Jared Goff throwing the ball so much. And it came out last night. Pass, 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 pass. And it was nothing but trouble.
855-212-4227. So that's the NFL in 60. Every game recapped in 60 seconds. Coming up, we've been teasing all morning. We've got it for you next. A ranking, the definitive list of who blew it this weekend. We'll tell you next.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff.
Sounds like my Saturday.
Yeah. All right. So, Maggie, fresh off a weekend of raving.
Yeah, I went to a rave. Found myself at a rave. I didn't know it was going to be that ravey. You know, I'm like 40. This isn't like rave age. But
so, was it a club? What was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was like a rave at a club in Washington, D.C. I was there for my best friend's birthday. But here's the thing. The rave was at 5:30 in the afternoon. Kids today, I'm telling you, the way kids like in their 20s party now, it's like they've figured it out. No one's out late. No one's drinking a lot either. I don't know what kind of drugs people are on. I was on zero, just there for the music. But Bogish is joining us. We can see him on Zoom. You just did like a little fist pump in the air. I was told at this rave by people in their 20s that how you can spot the millennials in the crowd is if you have your hands in the air. Apparently that's a no-no with a 20-something set. So I'm going to save you some embarrassment if you find yourself at a rave. Hands to your sides.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to find myself at a rave, but thank you for preventing me from looking uncool in another way.
Mm-hmm. Like you're holding suitcases.
Yeah. And by the way, you were there for the music? Yeah. I'm there for the articles. Good call.
It was very fun.
I'm also questioning how young this crowd is.
They were like 20s. We were there with a couple people who are 25 and 28.
Listen, I've been to a bunch of old folks' home parties. They usually start around 5. Wow. I don't know, Maggie. I'm a little skeptical.
I'll tell you what. We just kept looking at each other like, can you believe it's 5:30?
I'm not sure
It was like 2 a.m.
I'm not sure all of America is into that sober dance party kind of thing. I just think there is another world.
I never said anyone was sober. I just said they weren't drinking alcohol.
Isn't that like a big thing now, like the morning dance party? It sounds like... Yeah, I just feel like that is a particular set of people. Maybe I'm wrong. I feel like there, if you want to party, you could still party in this great country of ours.
Partying undefeated.
Yeah. Just think that everybody's raving at 5:30 in the afternoon in Washington, D.C. I'm not sure that is a accurate finger on the pulse of America right now.
Probably not.
But is it possible that they were raving at 5:30 p.m. from Friday night? They were still finishing their Friday while you're beginning your Saturday?
Just a little all the way through breakfast, lunch, and dinner, maybe.
Exactly.
It was fun. Okay, folks, stand by for 1 second. We've got to do our definitive ranking of who blew it this weekend because we kind of felt like that was the theme of the weekend.
Yeah, a lot of missed opportunities.
No doubt. All right, let's get a little music going. Hands down, folks. You're going to embarrass us. Okay, I have my top five.
Go.
In order from most forgivable to least forgivable. Fifth on the list of who blew it the most, I'm going to give it to the Giants running back Tyrone Tracy, who fumbled in overtime, totally cost the Giants a win. However, it's probably better for the Giants to lose now for their draft positioning, so that's why he's five on the list. Number four on the list of people who blew it this weekend, the officials in the Utah-BYU game who gave BYU a controversial roughing the passer call on a 4th and 10 backed up in their own end zone. BYU ends up kicking a game-winning field goal. The officials were just wrong, Perloff, and they handed Utah a loss that brutal. They did not deserve.
And especially a rivalry game like that, that just, you hate to see it.
It was terrible. Number three on my list of people who blew it this weekend, I'm going to go with the Bucs. They left way too much time for the San Francisco 49ers on that final drive where the Niners kept giving them penalties and kept handing them points. And you know what? It was just too much time. They should have gone to overtime rather than allowing the San Francisco 49ers to kick a game-winning field goal.
Yeah. I don't know if blew it because they really shouldn't have even been in the game, but yes.
Number two on my list of people who blew it this weekend, Johnny Newton of the Commanders. The rookie jumped into the neutral zone, which gave the Pittsburgh Steelers a first down. It gave the Pittsburgh Steelers the win. And because of the Commanders' loss and the Eagles' win, the Commanders are no longer in first place in the NFC East. Tough, tough day for rookie Johnny Newton. And the number one person, people, and team who blew it over the weekend was Brian Kelly in LSU having absolutely no answer for yet another running quarterback, this time Jalen Milroe, who basically rushed for almost 200 yards and four touchdowns. It was really 185 and four touchdowns in that game, coming off of a loss to Texas A&M from 2 weeks ago, where Texas A&M put in a running quarterback in Marcel Reed. You know Jalen Milroe is going to run the ball. You had an extra week to prepare, and you got absolutely smoked in the bayou at night. No excuse. They blew it as hard as any person this weekend.
Yeah, but are you sure they're not just a worse team? I mean, they did lose the Heisman Trophy winner.
What was the spread on the game?
I mean, yeah, but still, like, I'm not sure if they blew it. I think, like, I watched that game and I was like, wow, Alabama's a way better team. Just,
but I don't know. Alabama hasn't played like a way better team, like, quite frankly.
We always talk about Brian Kelly and LSU like they're on the brink of something. I'm not sure this is ever going to happen. I think we just like going on reputation a little bit for them. All right, my blew it rankings. Number five, I already mentioned him. The Steelers special teams player who dropped that fake punt pass. That was the most painful. That literally was the most painful moment of the weekend. It was deep in the own Steelers territory. He was standing there wide open. They hit him right in the numbers. He dropped it. Their special teams coach, the now famous Danny Smith, almost had a heart attack on the sideline. Okay, number four, Atlanta Falcons, the New Orleans Saints, were trying so desperately to hand them a win. Alvin Kamara dropped a ball at the end of the game that would have sealed the win for the Saints. And the Falcons had so many chances. They finally, they ran out of time. They had a choice between a 60-yard field goal or going for it on fourth down, and they ran the weakest play on fourth down. Lost the game. I don't know if it matters, but they totally blew that. Number three, EJ, you thought you were going to skate. You thought you were going to skate. Let's talk about the Miami Hurricanes. You're facing a Georgia Tech team that does not have a quarterback. When you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterback. When you have to bring in a quarterback on throwing downs, you're in big trouble with your quarterback. And Miami's defense is so bad, they still let Georgia Tech score 28 points. Dude, what's going on?
You had answers for me? I have none. This is what they've been all season.
My answer, they blew it. Number two, Texans, five picks. We've been talking about it all game. Five picks and you lose the game. That's definitely the definition of blow it. And, of course, the number one. I mean, this all came out. I mean, the Denver Broncos blew it. They probably blew their chance to make the playoffs by not blocking a single soul. There were seven guys who could have blocked that field. Is it that hard, Maggie, to hit a 30? That's an extra point. It was a 35-yard field goal attempt to finally knock off the Chiefs. And Mike Dana got the block, but it could have been four other guys. I don't understand. I just don't understand what happened.
It's Chiefs magic.
Like, where was the Broncos' offensive line? They did. I actually watched the play again. I'm like, did they use leverage to jump over somebody or cheat? Nope. They just ran right through the line, and everybody just blocked the kick. Anyway,
like that's millennials at a rave. Hands up.
Yeah, exactly.
Blocking field goals. All right, so there's your definitive lists of who blew it. We'll put them out on social media, too, at Maggie and Pearl on X. Andrew Bogish has headlines for us on this lovely Monday.
I definitely don't need to see you tongue-kissing.
Where does Manny find this stuff?
Raves. C.J. Stroud could not have played much better in the first half of Sunday Night Football. Beautiful throw after beautiful throw. His offense scoring on his first four possessions eventually led 23-7 at the break. And then they didn't score again. Head coach DeMeco Ryans not sure what happened.
To come out and turn the ball over the first play of the second half and to get in the red zone where we have points and to turn the ball over, that's not winning football.
Yep, two picks of Stroud in the third quarter. The second one should have been a touchdown that put Houston up 30-13. Instead, the Lions clawed their way to a 26-23 victory on Jake Bates' 52-yard field goal as time expired. They are the first team since 1970 to win despite trailing by 15-plus points and their QB throwing five picks. Dan Campbell on winning from behind.
When you get in that one, you're playing the long game. You know, you got to do it one possession at a time and just find a way to get this thing all the way down to the end of the game, because you're not going to be able to do it as far down as we were. You're not going to be able to do it within just, you know, a couple of possessions.
Perfect.
Jared Goff had four picks entering the night, then the five last night. One of them was a Hail Mary before halftime. The other four were very legit. The Texans have now lost back-to-back games, but keep a two-game edge on the Colts in the AFC South. Indy, a 30-20 home loser to the Bills. Joe Flacco, five turnovers, but remains their starter. The Eagles now on a five-game win streak after rolling through Dallas 34-6. It's four in a row for the Cardinals and the Steelers after routing the Jets and sneaking past the Commanders. And the Chargers on a three-game streak with Justin Herbert looking nimble yesterday.
Herbert rolling to the right, and here he goes, Herbert into the end zone! Touchdown, Chargers!
Mad Money Smith, Chargers Radio, LA down Tennessee 27-17. Herbert ran for that score and threw for another. The Saints' seven-game skid ending 20-17 over the Falcons. That was New Orleans' first game since firing Dennis Allen. Atlanta missed three field goals in that one. Kirk Cousins was picked off late, and their last drive ended with a fourth down stop. In the NBA, there's Nikola Jokic, 37 points, 18 rebounds, 15 assists. In the Nuggets, 122-120 win over the Mavs. And there's Nikola Jokic in Miami.
Here it comes, the snap inside. Nico puts it up and in, and he got fouled! 7.8 seconds to go. Nico will be at the line with an opportunity to take the lead.
Jason Jackson, Heat Radio, Jokic hit that free throw. Miami won in Minnesota, 95-94. Thunder forward Chet Holmgren is out at least 2 months after breaking his right hip in a fall in last night's 127-116 loss to the Warriors. Steph Curry scored 36. His team's won 6-7. And the Lakers are 5-0 at home after downing the Raptors 123-103. But Anthony Davis left in the third quarter after getting poked in the eye. Florida State football's 1-9 disaster now costing dudes their jobs. Offensive coordinator Alex Atkins, DC Adam Fuller, and wide receivers coach Ron Dugans all got the boot yesterday. And I'll tack on to Maggie's mention of the officials from Utah BYU. Utes AD Mark Harlan sat down postgame, ripped those refs, saying at one point he was no longer happy to be a Big 12 member. That rant got him a $40,000 fine yesterday. Guys, back to you.
Yeah, I mean, where else are you going to go? The Pac-12 is gone. Yeah.
It was a unique complaint, though. I thought this is going to go, I used to like being in the Big 12, and I already don't. It was a pretty quick turnabout.
It really was a shame. I mean, listen, the BYU story has been really great. They're undefeated. Yeah, yeah. But it's like, you also just have to call the game on the field. And the officials did not do that.
Listen, I mean, when all this conference realignment was going on, we all said the same thing. It's like, now BYU is going to take over the Big 12 and SMU is going to take over the ACC.
Right?
No, I just think it's so funny. In this first year, you have these two random teams atop these new conferences. It's great. It's fun for chaos. It would have really messed things up if Utah had beaten BYU.
But that's what happened. They did, basically. They did.
It kind of makes you a little easier on the brain, because if BYU had lost and like the committee tomorrow night comes out with their 12 teams, like what they do with the Big 12 is anyone's guess if BYU loses. And BYU obviously showed they could lose. They are not running this thing out for sure.
Utah has another opportunity in front of them. They could try to play spoiler against Colorado, who they're going to play this weekend. Colorado is the second highest ranked Big 12 team in the AP Top 25. So if they win out and BYU wins out, then they Big 12 title game. This means Deion Sanders could be in the college football playoff year two at Colorado. Now that would be something.
Do you believe in that?
There's one person we forgot to mention in the blowout rankings. We're letting them skate and slide. Not any longer. Maggie and Perloff.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Theme of the weekend is how many teams blew it. I mean, I hope that's not mistaken for not giving credit to the teams who won, but Perloff, there just did feel like there were some teams who either had it, let it slip away. I mean, the poster child Denver Broncos, who have a field goal blocked when they're on their way to beating the Chiefs in Arrowhead. Never happened.
Or you could say having five picks in a game and losing.
Last night, Houston Texans, they intercept Jared Goff five times, yet lose. It's tough to do. A team that I don't know if they necessarily belong in this category, but it was a bad loss for them, which is Georgia. Georgia goes on the road, Perloff, at the Grove, Ole Miss, 28-10, and it never really felt close. And Carson Beck, it's weird to say this, he actually played a little bit better than he has, because the rock bottom for him was 11 interceptions over a five-game span. But he played a little bit better, but they were still anemic on offense. This Georgia team just does not look like years past.
Yeah, I mean, they lead the country in drops by a mile, too. So that's a little bit of an out for Beck. You know, I'm not sure if they blew it or just in the new college football, it's really hard, especially to win on the road in the SEC. Like, same things happen to Alabama. You can't stack five stars four deep, so you're gonna be closer to the pack in the SEC, and that means you're going to lose some road games. I still think Georgia could go into the college football playoff and be favored and beat pretty much anybody. I mean, you saw they destroyed Texas. So, I mean, yeah, but like, how do you know? Like, one week to the next, you have no idea. They're going to host Tennessee. They're probably going to win that game, and they're probably going to have a decent, I mean, because Tennessee does not look explosive at all.
No, their offense is really
good. Yeah, their defense looks really good. But I'm just saying, like, I just think that's a new reality. Teams like Georgia and Alabama are in the pack, and they go out on these. You saw how much of a target they were that game. I felt the crowd was just going to explode. There was so much excitement in that building. So I'm not saying they blew it necessarily. I think it's just really hard to win games like that now.
I'm going to be honest. At one point, Jackson Dart got knocked out of the game for Ole Miss, and Austin Simmons came in, and he would have beaten them. He looked awesome.
But he would have beaten him. Yeah, that guy looks like he's going to be a number one pick in the NFL.
Right, so you're acting like, he's like, you can't stack talent anymore. Well, either of the quarterbacks from Ole Miss would have beaten Georgia on Saturday afternoon. I mean, that's saying something.
I didn't think there was any drop-off at all from...
No,
honestly, I kind of thought, because Jackson Dart was so compromised, I thought they should have gone with the other guy who looked really, really good in a brief... And I'm sure he's... I actually don't know much about him. I'm sure he's a 5.5-star quarterback.
I bet. 855-212-4227. That's the theme of the weekend. Teams that blew it. George is in Los Angeles, wants to talk about the Monday night matchup. Rams hosting the Miami Dolphins. George, how you feeling?
Good morning, Baggy and Perloff. I don't know why people are trying to pick Miami. I think the Rams will take them quite convincingly. I think they got most of their offensive line back. This is the healthiest Rams have been in the last 10 weeks. Mm-hmm. And they're on a roll of their own. And I don't see this being a close game at all.
So I took the Rams in this game, George, because I was thinking like you were thinking. I didn't really understand why the Rams were. They were a one-point favorite when I made the bet on Friday. They've now moved to 2.5.
Yeah, it's a strange line. The old Tua is going to come back. I'm not sure that Miami team still exists anymore.
No, you know, and George, thank you, and thanks for holding on, pal. The one thing is, I know this is crazy because it was not even the same team. Do you remember last year? Was it last year when Tua really battled the Chargers in the opener?
No.
I don't know. I think there's nothing about this that makes any sense to me, so I couldn't I'm like, maybe he's good in that stadium. I have no idea.
Well, I'm really interested to see now. It's a great point by George. Now that that O-line is back, are they going to compete for the NFC West, which you got sort of a three-headed monster in Seattle. Talent-wise, is right there when DK comes back, too. That's actually a wild division.
Totally. And the fact that the Cardinals are leading it is amazing. We're not sure if the Cardinals are any good. So
I mean, they're definitely good. Are they better than the Rams and the Niners? I think now that's the question. We've moved the question. I don't think so. I still think both those teams are better than the Cardinals, but God, I'm sick of betting against the Cardinals, Maggie. You're saying mean things about them, watching James Conner and Kyler Murray just be really tough.
Man, what a weekend it was. And we got this good game tonight. It's kind of a big one for me. I need to win this bet to be over 500 for the week.
I was like, hey.
I was going to say, I'm not sure that's going to get America engaged in this game.
Can we also call it now, though? Now that the Chiefs have moved to 9-0, they block the Denver Broncos field goal, which we were just mentioning. Undefeated season, which I believed was always a possibility. I'm not backing off of that.
Okay, what are the stakes?
Well, I wanted to propose something to you.
Okay.
And see if maybe you'd be into this.
All right.
I've got a bet out there that I have not paid off yet, but I'm going to, because I stupidly thought the Cowboys would not sign Dak Prescott. I thought they would leave their options open, and turns out I was probably right about that. But anyway, I had to go to a Waffle House and eat 24 hours worth of waffles. Would you take my place and go and eat the waffles?
Mm-hmm.
If the Chiefs pull off the undefeated regular season.
Okay.
Right? Just the regular season. Playoffs, yeah. I'm not asking for the Dolphins here. I'm just asking for the regular season.
Okay. And say they lose, then double or nothing. What's the double?
I don't know yet.
Can I invent one?
No.
Because you can't just, I would gladly, I don't think they're going to go undefeated. So I feel comfortable in that. But I need you to double your punishment. And that's the nature of a double or nothing bet.
I know, but I really just want you to do this waffle thing for me because I don't want to do it. And this is my Hail Mary that I need the Chiefs to go undefeated, which.
They are 9-0 and they are the two-time defending champion.
Tyreek Davis doesn't work on this show, Maggie. I don't think this Hail Mary is working for you.
Well, I mean, are you so nervous about this? You should just say, Andrew, I will let you decide the double or nothing punishment. And no. Just put your faith in me.
I don't trust
you. I'm not
going to
make
like
you
that.
Shave an eyebrow. What do you think I'm going to do?
You might.
I would never make you shave one eyebrow. Maybe both.
To even it out?
No. I think you should trust me and say, I trust you. We've been doing the show now for a while. And I think you will come up with a good double or nothing punishment.
No, because somehow I got tuna fish jellied the last time, and yeah. I don't want to do that.
That was bad. That was bad.
Tuna fish jelly with the green olives in it. I'm not right since then. I'm that a different beautiful. Person. Haven't you noticed? I've permanently changed.
There are certain foods you stay away from.
It's like that's core now.
Just to be clear, you don't like tuna fish jello with a little cottage cheese mixed in, Maggie? After a weekend of partying at an EDM club. Actually, I guess you weren't really partying.
That was sweet.
No, I went to a rave. It was at 5:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah. Did you come home and eat Jell-O afterwards?
No, I went to a fancy restaurant and I was asleep by 11.
Love it.
Yep. That was the wild weekend. But it was great.
If we're getting real diabolical, maybe the double or nothing should be that you drive to San Antonio.
No, I can't. For the breakfast tacos and to apologize to Wembanyama when I never said anything bad about Wemby.
Saying.
I can't do a road trip. Perloff, I'll end up like on the side of the road.
But you can't just be like, well, if they go undefeated, then Perloff, you have to do it. Like, you have to put something on the line. When bust Jama? What if you think of the punishment?
All right. Give me a little bit more time. I thought maybe you'd jump at it.
Who do the Chiefs get next?
The Bills.
Buffalo. Yeah, I mean, what's the spread?
I didn't even look
yet. I feel like the Chiefs might actually win that game, but they are definitely not getting up for their lesser opponents. They are toying with their food.
To be honest, I'm taking a page from you now because we've been sitting next to each other doing the show for a couple years. there's like a part of me that thinks whoever loses this game will win the rematch.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because
it's so hard to beat a team twice.
You definitely don't want to win this regular season game.
I know. You're in my head now with that stuff. Thank you, DJ Stewart. Thank you to Manny Rodriguez. Thank you to Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, Weedo's Coffee Drinkers. You guys are the best. See you tomorrow.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.